Very thankful to be with you this morning. I forgot to mention your brothers and sisters up in Alpena also send their greetings and their love. We had a wonderful meeting there on Saturday and a wonderful study there in Sacramento with them as well. And then the bottom dropped out of the weather and winter came back to us, you know, that we're very thankful for. Let's us know and appreciate the blessings and the warmth that God provides for us, the watch care and taking care of us and the design that he has set forth. Very thankful. And I'm thankful that there are others that wish to meet in this group that's up there. And ask an interest in your prayers. And an example of the work throughout the whole earth. I basically had like a picture presentation this morning for us. The recent trip that they may have been asking about over there in India. We haven't been there for well over a year because of political situations, you might say. But I only have two scriptures for us this morning. I want to begin basically and one at the end. And, you know, we're living in that time today. You know, the gospel is going out in the world for the witness, and the end shall come. The significant scripture that I'll read later on, but in 3 Nephi, talking about the time in which the work of the Father would commence, and we would see the Book of Mormon. We would see the words of the of those that had slumbered, if you will. But I would like to read a scripture before I begin in the book of 2 Nephi, 12th chapter, page 158. And I was rather led to this one this morning, and I believe that I didn't want to show pictures, but I believe that we should have a couple scriptures. Verse 69. Right. And this is talking, of course, of the speaking of the Lord to the tribes of the house of Israel. And I will speak unto the other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it. I shall speak unto all nations of the earth, and they shall write it. And it shall come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites, the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews, and the Nephites of the Jews shall have the words of the lost tribes of Israel. And the lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and the Jews. And it come to pass that my people, which are of the house of Israel, shall be gathered home to the lands of their possessions. My word also shall be gathered in one. And it's going to be a powerful time in that is and yet coming. And that we're in that process of time, you know, the pruning of the vineyard and the spreading of the gospel. And the time is now. And we'll see great and powerful things to come, but the Lord is sending out his servants into all the world. And I will show unto them a fight against my word and against my people who are of the house of Israel. I am God, and I covenant with Abraham, and I will remember his seed forever. And so, it is really neat. And this reminds me, in verse 71 and 72, basically, if you will, of Ezekiel in the 37th chapter, talking about the two sticks that are going to be used and come together with one in their hand, the stick of Joseph and the stick of Judah, and to tell wheresoever they have gone. And so we see many that are appreciating the fullness of the gospel. They're appreciating its the fullness, the power in the word, but the Lord's Spirit that brings it into the hearts and minds of the children of men, in order to be a witness. He says that I have covenanted with my people, and I have remembered my people, and I remember all people over. And so with that, I'd like to present a few pictures, maybe a few comments, maybe a little bit different today, but pictures are good too, and pictures teach many things. I've never seen this building before we had gotten there, and this was Jacob's congregation we went to. We spent 2 days at each of the congregations, and we were to teach, and we were preaching every day. Both of us were preaching every day and serving sacrament, and not sacrament every day, but preaching every day especially. And this was where this man, Jacob, he's got a wonderful family. I've met him before. And that he was told that he should tear down his house, move his family into a lean-to, and they used to build this church. Contracted to have a lot of it done, but to sacrifice, great sacrifice, and with his own resources. This is their inside of their congregation, inside of that building, and it kind of looks bigger on the inside rather than it does on the outside. But that's Jacob and his family right there in the front, and he's the one in the white shirt, and the young lady in the yellow veil, that was Esther. Remember her as a little girl. I was there before, and they were the ones sitting in the front row, and always racing to the scriptures, always racing to see who could get there first. And I think that's a real neat thing, and it won't be too far along that she's probably going to be married, I would imagine. I don't know when that's going to all come, but she's in her teens now, and so we had a wonderful congregation there too, that came to hear, and is growing. The Lord is moving there. There is not ministry there in India. That's why we ask an interest in your prayers, heartfelt prayers. We saw a very powerful example of those in the Philippines. That there's four men that were called to the ministry here recently, and we're praying that the Lord will send forth ministry here in this mission. So we call it a mission, not a congregation yet, but in reality it's a congregation. But regardless of that there's not ministry there yet. And to minister in the covenants of the Lord, baptizing and so on. And ministering in the covenants of the Lord, the reception of the Holy Ghost, the laying out of hands, all of those things, the blessing of children. But this is a wonderful and growing congregation. One of his sons, let's see here. And let's see here. Yeah, this is his family here. Now, in one of his sons, the ones in the center, basically, I believe, is the electrician, helping in their congregation and doing some wiring and so on. There's, of course, his other son, and they can, better than that, they can both cook. They can both cook. And we were eating some of their cooking as they would kind of go from congregation to congregation with us, not all of them, but some of them, to help them with cooking, it's wonderful, and they feel like they need to feed you. But and personally, I feel I'm very humbled by that. These people don't get enough to eat. You can see it, and they think they have to feed me, and I obviously look like I don't need to eat for a long time. And, it makes you kind of feel ashamed. To me, it's an honor for them, and they love to do this for you. But it's a very humbling experience, to have those that really have not to give to you. I don't know the exact number. My guess is it's probably 25, something there. And I don't know if that ever when we served sacrament, that was pretty much the whole congregation received sacrament. And we had a driver that was, it's kind of an arrangement where Sherratt owns the car, but they have a driver that is hired. And he was there listening to every one services. And we had asked him in the beginning, "Are you a Christian?" And he says, "No." It's two, three other times after that, while we're driving along, and his name is Satish. I say, "Satish, are you a Christian now?" And he was listening and so on, and Abel. We're human quite a bit too. That's what happens when there are people that will drive us different places, and they will come to learn, to listen, and they put in belief. That's the way the Lord works sometimes in mysterious ways.
Our last part of the converted.
Yes. That tall fellow? Yeah, his young child was blessed and received a healing, I believe. And that's a very good example. Some young man in the congregation, the fellow next to Smith, and the white with the blue, was actually Jacob's son, but the other three were young men in the congregation. So we have some growth there and young men that are enthused. And who knows how the Lord will work there? Will it be with the leaders that are doing the work now, the pastoral work now? That's what they're doing, the pastoral work now. Or will it be with the young men that the Lord is sifting, that is proving, and so on? It's a good question, isn't it? How the Lord will work. And Smith, we received, I don't know what you call it, kind of like a little shawl, kind of a ceremonial shawl, and just a presentation type thing to those that are coming, and the missionaries, because you're teaching, I guess, the way it would be. And Buzz says, I've got a whole room of those things, or something like that. Anyway. And so that was, we spent 2 days there, and at least two, three services a day, and very great blessing, with people. You can't understand what they're saying, but you can feel their love and their devotion and so on. And each of us may have been preaching. Trout was the one getting the workout because he's translating all this, and so he's basically translating a couple of services worth, and talking twice as long as we would, And even as long as I may go on, I was accused of having a button instead of a mint while I was preaching. Anyway, this is Raju is the tall man in the center. This is the congregation that he is leading, and I believe that's his wife in the blue on the right. And of course, that's our driver in back. Siddarshan is another leader. And Siddarshan was there for a lot of these services as well, and we'll be seeing his congregation coming up. But this building here, I believe, is a rented building. And of course, our driver behind us in the car, behind us, and so on, for the first meeting. And there, this congregation, this is the entrance to their building, and worked out very well and so on. And of course, they would each like to build a church. And we're waiting for the moving of the Lord in order to do this and that there'd be ministry there. And as you've heard from, you can't run ahead of the Lord when things are in an area and they've been learning many lessons this week. They go out into the world to preach the gospel. And many experiences these missions and so on, how they're trying to cultivate the work there until there's the spiritual growth and for the callings that the Lord will lead them. Of course, the inside of the building and the first meeting, I think this is the first meeting, I believe, and most days you won't see me preaching because I'm the one taking the pictures. And anyway, we just haven't shared the picture just as yet, but regardless. But there always has to be the speaker so that the neighborhood can hear everything that's going on, And we try to, because of the political climate there, tone it down. Threatened or anything like that while we were there. It was a very peaceful, very loving situation. And the people are very happy, very, very loving people. In the church, out of the church, very happy to see you and this and that. So we never felt anything different than we were there before. even though we weren't able to do baptisms because of a place, because of the showing of it, because of the political climate, if you will, there at this point. But you know, the leaders and some of the ladies there, and of course, our brother Smith preaching and brother Sherratt translating, and from the same service. And basically the same service. This is a different one. This, we had to come there at night. It was a different timing. It's not that we were preaching that long from morning till night. It was just that we had to, the other time we had to go a different time. On the next day. And a lot of it's because these people are working. These people are working out in the fields and things like that. And just the reality of life there. You know, there's no safety net there for subsistence, for food. You know, the scripture in the Bible, it says that if a man should not work, he should not eat. It's real. It's real there. You don't work, you don't eat. We talked about today giving and taking care of people that you're in need. And we would do that. And I think it's a shame in the day in which we live in America that we look upon people and you're deciding, are they trying to scam you or not? You know, and that's why I'm thankful that the Sunday school class, you know, they came up with the packets to hand out to the homeless. And then you're doing something, and anyway. Same congregation with the little children and so on, and this is Sudarshan's group. We had met on the porch of this. I remember preaching, we were on this, having whole service at this home before. And this man, the congregation, this is his home, something on that porch, and of course, and having services there. Of course, we have a shortness of space, and the people are sitting off to the side as well. You know, and that's our brother preaching, Brother Smith. I do continue to ask interest in your prayers on his behalf. We get his recent blessing. They were checking for cancer again and so on, and his physical, and we received great blessing once again. He is supposed to go to Ethiopia for a long trip coming up. Keep him in your prayers, please. His desire to serve, and the Lord has been blessing him throughout this cancer. But these the people were very thankful. They're very thankful to hear the message of the restored gospel. And what's so neat is that they know the genuine article when they hear it. They know the genuine article when they hear it. And would serve an unchanging God. And that, you know, I know that was the flavor, I know, of one of my messages there, a couple of them basically. And throughout, so we serve an unchanging God. We don't leave any of the scriptures behind. We don't leave any of the facts, the everything behind. And I'm very thankful for that restored message. And this is also the same group. There may be a few more or less of the same group in Sudarshan's group, but this is a different place. This is a lean-to that they're in and out of, and using, and as we'll see in an upcoming picture, there are people sitting off to the side on the left, and very touching, moving services. There was a lady here that has suffered very greatly. She kind of breaks your heart. She had no fingers. She had no toes. It was an early experience. They deal with snakes in that area. I don't like that idea. There's snakes in the area. Bit her and everything else, and she lost a lot of her fingers and toes to save her life. And our brother recognized that she had a testimony. And one of our brothers said, "No, we don't think she has one." He says, "Yes, that lady right there has a testimony." And she was allowed to stand, and she just poured out her heart. There's the lady that's in the bottom. It's right near his elbow, right there, in the bluish robe. And I was serving. And you could tell there's something in somebody's mind in their heart. And that was the case. She had something that she was just trying to tell me. Of course, I can't understand Tulu. I have trouble with English sometimes. But anyway, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. And the Lord moves him. And, of course, everybody like wants a picture taken and stuff like that. And they're just some of the young ladies in the congregation and all listening, of course. And of course, people are off the side. This is one of the sacrament service, I believe it was. Of course, they would like to have better buildings there too, with thatched roofs, snakes hide with thatched roofs, and they could drop on people. And anyway, they reminded us of that. They were telling us this. Our brother Siddharsi. It was, of course, saying quite a few words. I use the word kind of evangelist. He has that spirit about him. He can orchestrate. And his introduction can be lengthy, but it's heartfelt. And he and Roger were singing together. And it's different than what we were singing here, but they were singing with a passion, of course, and love them to sing. There's an idol everywhere. There's an idol everywhere. And all these little towns. The thing that is kind of. These people hardly have. They don't have two nickels to rub together. But these temples and these shrines are all very ornate, and a lot of money goes into them. Other people don't have enough to get along on. This is one of their buildings. This is the Starson had started, if you will, on his own. And of course, they're presenting that they'd like the church to help. If you'll notice, our brother on the left, he's very good at giving the Dutch banker look. You know, very deserting, sifting, you know, and blessed him with being able to manage out there in the missionary field. Listening to what they have to say. So he goes, they like a roof, they like all this finished off and so on. And the energy that they're doing in order to their building and so on and want to take care of their people. And you can understand all that, too. This is the inside of Sherat's group, if you will. And they would like to definitely build a different building here as well. That's roof. They have a tarp on the inside there, and I have guesses to why there's a tarp underneath the roof, too, to protect their congregation. And this is his Sherat's mother on the left side there, Lily. And his father is right by the door there. That's Raju is one of the leader on the right, and of course his mother. And there was a man. This was interesting. Is that I know our brother Dennis has seen this as well. There are ministry that come from other congregations, and they want to hear what the Church of Christ has to say. And also, when there is administrations afterwards. Right there, asking for administration. This fellow was an evangelist from another some other congregation denomination and wanted administration for healing, recognizing that, you know, and wanting that. Just it's so neat. And he was back for both services. And there was another fellow that in one service that was a Lutheran minister. There was at least two or three evangelists that had come that were there was a title. And but wanted to know about what the Church of Christ was teaching. And so hopefully they had made a dent in their life and in their thinking and in their belief. Of course, our brother preaching once again, same congregation, probably different service, and a young man or a young fellow on the right that has some physical difficulties and so on. His eyes are crossed, but he was very enthusiastic and asking questions. He was answering. And he was kind of using them for an example over there. He was very interested and wanted to know and this and that. Is the Lord going to use him down the road? Good question. Good question. See? Turn to him, ask him a question, and just recognize that he had something to say. He had an answer, and this fellow was more than enthused to give it. Of course, Sherratt's going to have to tell what the guy said, too. Sometimes you'd have to slow down a little bit, like with Sherratt, because there are mannerisms that we may use. There's maybe even humor that we use. These people don't recognize that. They don't understand some of the things that we may say and the way we may say it, or some of the words we may use. And you have to take it, break it down, make it, rephrase it, make it simpler. And it's one thing for you to say it and him to translate it and for them to understand it. And so we have to watch the things that we say. But it's the plainness of the gospel. You know, we know many of us may difficult things, but it's the plainness, the simplicity of the gospel of Christ that's what's reaching out to the world. The simple things confound the wise. Of course, this is the second floor of Sherratt's house there. This is where they live. This is where they had to set it up for us to eat. And as you can see what's on our plate, they weren't feeding us very well. Actually, yes. That's American humor. Okay, there. You can let that. I know you understand. And the thing is that, once again, they're feeding you. And it's just a very humbling experience for you to be fed with a lot of them, the ones that need it. And you clear off a little bit of your plate, and they want to pile more on. And, you know, just don't need all that. But there, it's a joy for them for you to be there. And this is Jacob's two sons, of course. And once again, they are, as I'll turn here, are in the kitchen down below. And our driver, Satish, he was along with them as well. And hung out there a lot at the house. And so we think that influence is very, very good. And the way the Lord works, and he's friends with Jacob's two sons. This is Sherratt's wife, Sarah, and his two sons. I believe it's Benjamin and Smith. I believe are his two sons' names. She's got a very joyful spirit. Sarah is not like the others, seem like just that familiar, joyful spirit that's, I believe, God makes. These were some of the children that would come around. And, of course, Sherratt's two sons, but these other ones were kind of getting out of school at the time, and I know some of these were in services as well. And handshaking, they're just so into that they'll shake your hand about 5 or 10 different times. And just happened to have, you know, see, I'll use a mint or something, and I brought some little candies with me, and it just so happened that I had enough, and we're going to give them some candy. And the last time I went overseas, I made sure to take a big box of suckers, you know, and Norm would give out a sucker, you know. And so I took a box with me over there, and I just said, this is from your brother in the United States, and to give him a sucker. This is Sharat and his wife Sarah, and he is definitely not of the Hindu faith. They reverence the animals, the bulls. He's a carnivore, and Buzzard brought him jerky, and he said, "Keep bringing me jerky and stuff." In between times, we were trying to meet up with, as a young man I've been in talking to, or emailing back and forth, he had contacted the church, and the wording of his first email, I think that others in the church, I remember, they probably thought it was not real. Someone told me to keep writing to him, so I've been writing to this fellow for the last couple of years, and even before I retired and so on. And when Joel and Brian had went there, they met at his home. This is Laxman on the right-hand side. A picture or two with him coming. But anyway, and he wanted to start this, it's a Death of Dumb school, with these other people. And what it was most important to them, of course, you know, that it's not going to hurt if you leave them money, you know. But they made sure that they made plain was they wanted the Lord's blessing on the deaf and dumb school as they teach, as they take care of these young kids. They wanted a blessing. They said, "We're not looking for your money, the leader of this group." He says, "All right, we want your blessing and your prayers, your continued prayers." Once again, I'm sure they wouldn't turn away money if they received it. But anyway, and they had asked a long time ago, what should we name this school? You know. And I said, "Well, one thing I do know is that if Christ is in the name, that's a very important thing. And He will bless it when you're trying to do this right." And so they named it Christ's Way School for the Deaf and Dumb. And you can see the ribbon on the left. They were ready for that to be cut. This is a picture that Laxman sent me afterwards, showing some of those, as we see our brother Smith, the upper center, cutting a ribbon, and then our dedication prayer in the upper left for this school. And when we were after this portion, we were taken into another room, and our brother Smith was giving a presentation on the Church of Christ, talking about who we are, what the church is about, and so on. And so it was a good experience in that way. And the fellow in the upper left-hand portion there is a minister from another congregation, and was very intelligent, asking very good questions, and very much interested in what the presentation was about. So there are some of the kids that are, you know, with some of those deformities or whatever the matter. And Laxman is diabetic. Has some other little problems, and he's about 30, 32. We administered to him, and he knows what administration is about. Through the years, I've seen studies and questions, or things like from questions and presenting the Church of Christ to him, and I believe that he will join one day. And he did ask that he would be baptized, he and a friend, while we were there. And basically said, "I want you to know what the Church of Christ is about. I want you to know, you know, what it, and not just, this is not an impulse. It's not just an action. We want you to know." And so, there will be a time. There will be a time. This is Laxman, his wife, Sharika, and his young boy, Ryan. And that's that room that we were in, and as we were talking to the rest of the people, our brother Smith was doing a lot of talking there, and I get these emails all the time, and he's an orphan. Laxman was an orphan, and so I'm referred to as Daddy. So, but a lot of them, a lot of these areas, they refer to their other apostles, Papa, Smith is Papa, and this and that, and so on. But he doesn't have any parents. He does have a mother-in-law that lives with him, but regardless. And he is an IT guy for a technical college near there for a university. And you talk about some of the temples. And as you can see, the big white bowl in the center and the top, very very ornate, all these things everywhere, brightly, they're all taken care of and so on. The offerings there for the animals, and I know our brother and sister have both seen these things, and they're just flat everywhere. And one thing I asked, I always wanted to know, I said, did they ever do a human sacrifice? And they said, yes. It's been years, years ago, probably about 400 years, they did used to do sacrifice. And it's not done anymore. It's just basically they leave offerings, and if an animal comes to wander the streets, and if they come to a business, it's a departed relative that is paying you just the homage and this and that, and they to feed them, and it's reincarnation. And I'm sure there's a whole lot more to it. But but I'm seeing these things roaming the streets thinking about a nice barbecue person. But just kind of a half a bit of humor. As we were preparing our morning, and I said to Buzz as we were there in the room, if I were to come back as something else, and if reincarnation was true, I said my relatives would probably live at the grocery store, the candy store, or something like that, where I know I'm going to be fed. Got a good one. Might as well laugh about it. But regardless. But when we were going to where Laxman, we were going to meet up with them. They took us through. This is a banana processing place, and they're getting them all ready to send out to wherever on these big trucks, and just kind of neat, these small bananas in different colors. Right, they had the red ones and the yellow ones, but they're wrapping them in leaves and getting them to send out. And as you can see, the big truck, you know. Just getting ready. Those are all those big things of bananas. They have big, huge stems. They cut them out of the trees and stuff like that in order to send them out. And there are people that have their bicycles, and they have the bananas that are strewn over like this, and they'll pile as much as they can on anything with wheels in order to get it somewhere. You know, and these big trucks are just everywhere. And this place was, I coined it, the land of horns and whistles. You heard about every configuration horn sound that I could think of going by. But there are ones that you would recognize, I think, and there are air horns that for the big trucks. And if you heard that one sound, you'd better be, there's no turn signals, there are no the lights and stuff like this, it's the horn. You better pay attention to the sound of that horn. There was the one for the smaller vehicles and the ones for the larger vehicles. And so, but anyway, these big trucks were everywhere, and a lot of the same type of truck owned by a big corporate and things like that. A lot of corporations own the land, you know, for the coconut trees, the banana trees, the rice fields, and things like that. Pray for our brothers and sisters, because they claim that there is persecution that is going on with Christians. That if they know that you're Christian, then this is their leaders are telling us that they won't hire you. And so our members are receiving persecution, not able to work because of it. Kind of had a little joke. You see the cow in the back of the truck, and these little scooters are everywhere, and we think that they were taking the cow for a family vacation. And, of course, there's the bull running the street and stuff like that out in front. And this is some of the vehicles that they have there. This is one of our brother's motorcycles. I thought it was pretty cool. It was a Honda, and just had to jump on it. And so I could tell Sue, hey, if one of my brothers can have one overseas, can I have one back home? But anyway, just one of Jacob's sons had one of these. And of course, there are the two bulls. One morning, there were two of these that were butting head-to-head. They were fighting in the streets. Probably that they were fighting over where they were going to go to eat or something, one of the shops. So this is my begging territory. Who knows? Who knows? This is one of the colleges here, the Institute for Engineering Technology. I don't know for sure if this is the one that Laxman goes to. I didn't ask. This is just one that was on the way to one of the meetings. And, of course, this is the same place. The other was the entrance. This is the same place. It's a pretty big place. And so for those that can afford to go to these places, I think a lot of the kids, when they go to these schools and so on, I don't know for sure if education is a free thing for everyone. I think it's they have to pay to go to each of the schools. And they may be sponsored. I'm not sure. Because assuming some kids were going to school and some were not, and for whatever reasons. And so, just on the way home, yes. No, they don't. They did. I wanted to show there wasn't a dirt trail that people were taken off from the airport. This is their actual planes and this and that that take off from the area we went to. That was Roger Mundry. They have redone the airport. Nicer place than this and that there. So that's basically the pictures that I had and I did want to read a scripture, and out of the third book of Nephi, the ninth chapter, page 662. And once again, and that's not telling you that these people are of the house of Israel. Not saying they're not. Not saying they are either, whatsoever. But he does say that in verse 86, verily I say unto you, give unto you a sign that you may know the time when these things shall be about to take place, that I shall gather from their long dispersion my people of the house of Israel, and shall establish again among them my Zion. Behold, this is the thing which I will give unto you for a sign. For verily I say unto you, that when these things which I shall declare unto you, and which I shall declare unto you hereafter myself, and by the power of the Holy Ghost shall be given unto you the Father, shall be made known unto the Gentiles. And so, you know, we are seeing these things. And actually, down in verse 92 says, it behooveth the Father that it should come forth from the Gentiles, that he may show forth his power unto the Gentiles for this cause, that the Gentiles, if they will not harden their hearts, that they may repent, and come unto me, be baptized in my name, and know of the true points of my doctrine, that they may be numbered among the people of the house of Israel. And so, it talks about that beginning time. We've had this gospel, it's restored, April 6, 1830, and it is going out to the world as we. There will be many, many things come to pass, and as the Lord pours out His Spirit, His power, and so on upon His church, His people, and so on. But it's just so neat to see these things, and I just wanted to show you some of the things I saw. But you can't truly appreciate unless you're standing right there, see, and experience these for ourselves. But this is where it's going. And so, thank you for your love and for your prayers. Yes? Okay. Oh! A sister says that tonight is a thankful tree, and you're saying people are welcome to come and do that to put on their hand what you're thankful for. That's a good idea. Thank you.